Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. I am Brandon Goldner, and over there we have the voluptuous, the vivacious, the vindicated, more on that in a second, the vindicated Ryan Wendler. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
Not gonna lie, I'm super curious to hear how that audio quality comes out when this posts, because that just died completely in my ear. But yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I had a great conversation with our online Twitter friend Berlacious M, real name Michael, who is the announcer for the Portland Winterhawks. We had this incredible conversation about his history with vocal warmups and him being in theater and him leading it to that job. As you know, Cassie and I have been taking singing lessons. I've done karaoke 2 days in a row. Don't ask me why. So I'm like really high on this, like, what's my voice doing and how does it sound and how well do I enunciate it? Can I get down in that lower register? So like, I'm all on this like vocal trip right now that no one else really needs to hear about, but now you're getting to hear about
it. My biggest thing, like, I've been podcasting now for, God, 7 years,
a long time.
I think. Yeah, which is crazy because time flies and it feels like I just started the other day. But it's ironic because I absolutely hate my voice. I cannot stand how my voice sounds, to the point in which for the past 3 years, I have never once listened to one of my own podcasts. I will download it, I will play it, and I will put it on silent to get that sweet, sweet SEO and metrics and whatever.
You know,
but I cannot stand to hear the sound of my own recorded voice. So God bless any of you who are currently listening.
You know, the only thing that helps with that, and you're going to hate this answer, and you already know what it is. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. I hated it too. And, you know, it was really awkward and really frustrating, really dumb. You got to do it. It's the only way that you can get better is to listen to yourself and to
I'm aware. And like the first like 4 years that I did podcasting, I listened back to every episode. And then
and
I just realized
it easier for you.
It got harder because I became the more I listen to like my own voice or like how I speak. I am more annoyed, and it's not even like with inflections.
Oh,
it's not even like inflections or like how I say things or how I enunciate things or anything like that. It's the stupid things like I can pick up. I'm like, oh my God, why am I breathing so loudly? Breathe quieter, you asshole.
Man, you've,
like little
listen,
stupid things like that.
You've got a lovely voice. There's a reason why we do this podcast together. Like, we sonorously, we balance each other out really well, except for that one time that we were talking to Corey and for whatever reason,
and we're indistinguishable.
I don't understand that whatsoever.
Got nothing.
You've got a great voice, but to be fair, like, no one likes the sound of their own voice, but you know what some people do like, Ryan? I'm teeing this up for you, and because I'm your friend and I love you.
I know, but I want you to lay it all out there. I want the full carpet rolled out before I say a thing.
You know, Ryan, some people may not like the sound of their own voice, but do you know what they generally do like? They like being right. And Ryan, was there any individual in the world who was more right than you following our last podcast? I honestly, like, after we talked about the G League Ignite and versus college and our players ready for the NBA, and I was arguing against you, man, I couldn't, like, there has, in my whole time that I've been podcasting, which is a long time, I've never, ever, ever seen a situation where someone was proved so fucking right, so hard,
so quickly,
so fast. You were ahead of the curve. Ryan, walk us through what has happened. Like, and by the way, like, I want
the
listeners to know.
Well, I'm famous now. ESPN has given me a contract. I'm getting the Ron McDaniel $300,000
no,
deal. So
we've signed a blood oath to Rogue Media and part of the Blazers Edge podcast family. No, Ryan, I want you to walk us through, because by the way, for the listeners, Ryan was, you know, totally fair, like, not super happy with the way I framed up the title of the podcast, the description of the podcast. That's
but
responsibility.
It worked out well. I take all that complaint back.
Tell us in a nutshell what you were arguing last week, and then tell us what happened, because it was truly stunning.
My biggest thing with how players have been coming into the NBA has been, well, there's been more of a focus on like the AAU league type of atmosphere where it's a showcase league and it's big names and it's not very much putting all that time and money into development, that it's wasting talented players. And the G League, you know, my qualm with the title of last week's episode was that it was only like attacking the G League. I don't have a problem with the G League in and of itself. It is a developmental league. I think it's great that the Blazers finally do have their own dedicated G League. And when it's a team controlled thing and you can send players to and from it, it is fantastic for player development overall. But when you're having players that are going straight from high school to signing these smaller contracts to be in the G League, or in the G League Ignite's case, most specifically with Scoot Henderson, $1 million contracts in these showcase leagues, it's very much just I'm going to build my brand, I'm going to build my individual game, and it's not teaching a lot of the team aspect. And then we recorded that episode last Monday, 1 week ago. Posted the next day, and I want to say by either Thursday or Friday of last week is when it came down that the NBA was dissolving their G League Ignite team. Adam Silver said, hey, with NIL in college, we no longer need to worry about paying, you know, getting these players played kind of thing. They can go through the proper development process.
Thank you for mentioning that part, because there's it. Look at this. Watch. Oh, yep. Oh, wait.
Still drives me insane.
Okay, sorry. Whoa, it switched.
Did I'm just it switch seeing, or just see, does? Oh, it doesn't show that. Okay, never mind.
It didn't. Did it switch the? Anyway, sorry, I interrupted. But just that, like, to be fair. Continue. I want you to, you've earned this victory lap. Keep going.
So, you know, Adam Silver saying, hey, we're dissolving this because, you know, it didn't work out as, you know, was needed. There's no longer a need for this. Players can get name, image, and likeness money in college. They can stay in college. They're not necessarily trying to jump immediately to the NBA, which is great because they can develop skills more and learn more team aspect, team oriented basketball, which was my biggest complaint about things such as academy schools, like where Ant came from, or the G League Ignite team, like where Scoot came from. And I think that players do benefit from that thing. One argument that I think I left on the table and I was kicking myself for after we recorded that, and we're not going to rehash this entire episode, don't worry guys, about just a continuation of last week's stuff. But one argument, we're like, when we were talking about like players and branding and building to being, you know, a team-oriented basketball player, is thinking about it in terms of women's college hoops, which now that March Madness has started, you're actually seeing that there's a almost equal investment right now, not monetarily wise, but attention wise, to the NCAA March Madness in the women's bracket as there is in men's. And in all honesty, I probably know more about the March Madness bracket side of women's college basketball than I do about men's college basketball. But when you're looking at players like Caitlin Clark, and, you know, even going back like Sabrina Ionescu, those are players that stayed in a college system and built their brand while becoming better team and individual basketball players. And that was one argument that I was kind of sad that I left off the table, totally forgot, because I think that is a great example of how the college game, while now allowing players that name, image, and likeness money, can help them grow their skills to be a better basketball player that will better impact a franchise along the way. But that's, you know, thank you for giving me my roses. Like I said, I don't think I could have ever imagined having a more on topic recorded on a podcast before it became a topic.
I also want to say, you know, you already mentioned it. The real reason why the G League Ignite will be no more is that college athletes can now make money, which was not the case when the G League Ignite started. So you mentioned that part, but the other thing I want to say to your credit, it wasn't just that the G League Ignite is being discontinued. I can't tell you how many think pieces, podcasts, smart people who know more about basketball than me that said the same thing you did. Hey, look at the players coming out of the G League. They don't seem like they're prepared. The team isn't particularly good. And now, while I do, so I just want to say, like, it wasn't just that the G League Ignite ended. People were making the exact same arguments in the same way that you were. Congratulations, sir. You win. Now, here's what I want to say. As for, if I don't get the YouTube up, I'm bowing. Ryan is doing that thing where you clasp your hands and shake them from side to side when you, oh, and now he's pantomiming, blowing kisses at people. God, this is just infuriating to me. Listen, though, I also want to say,
you'll have your moment eventually.
On something. I also want to say that it feels a little early for us to be writing off players coming from the G League Ignite specifically and saying, well, you know, they're garbage. A lot of these players were super young when they came to the league. Some of them are just now finding their footing. People like Scoot Henderson. I hate to repeat this. We may have to wait until 2026 or maybe even 2027 until we can see exactly what kind of player Scoot is going to be. It's a long time to wait, but just because he's not good right now doesn't mean that he's like an abject failure. So all to say, you were right. You were right. You were right. I'm done. I'm never going to say that again.
We'll get there. It's fine.
I hope
one of the things about G League Ignite too is like in seeing a lot of those follow-up pieces after that news was, oh, hey, the G League Ignite was great at, you know, producing top 10 picks or lottery pick prospects. And it listed off all these players who have gone through G League Ignite. Scoot Henderson being the highest pick player, I believe, was like the focal point of that. But I feel as though those comments kind of lended more credence to my argument of it just being showcase kind of thing. Like, I didn't recognize most of the names on those lists. Like, it was Scoot and maybe two other players. And then I'm like, who? So like, you're talking about like, oh, the G League Ignite produced all the, no, the G League Ignite created hype around a lot of these players. And that hype led to them increasing their draft stock and they got drafted higher. That's no different than kind of what you see in the NCAA tournament nowadays, where, you know, whichever player has the most insane buzzer beating, you know, this shining moment kind of shot shoots up a draft board because he's the big name. And they're like, oh, well, he did that one good thing. Never mind like the other 30 games that he played that he sucked in for his college career or whatever. But he had this one shining moment, you know, on this Cinderella story team in the NCAA tournament. And suddenly his draft stock is improved by like 20 picks. So it's just kind of one of those things. But I very much do. Thank you. I know it hurts you deep down in the recess of your soul to have to say, I was wrong and Ryan, you were right. And I will never doubt you ever again. Cause that's exactly how I heard it.
Just those are words I will not be saying. However, let's continue this conversation. You were right. Congratulations. Let's continue this conversation. Ryan, Scoot Henderson, a player that came from the G League. He's in his first NBA year. He's 20 years old. This man, I am almost literally twice as old as this human being. I don't like thinking about that whatsoever.
We don't do that math. We're at the point in our basketball fandom where we don't do this math anymore.
We should definitely just
the players that are going to get drafted this year are literally half our age.
They are
we cannot
literally babies. They're just little embryos. They're like just multi-cell, barely alive things dribbling a basketball.
They are 5 years older than my oldest child. And again, math we don't do.
They are literally not even a twinkle in either of their parents' eye. But Ryan, Scoot Henderson, when he returned from injury back in early March, he didn't look so good. In the six games following his injury, Scoot Henderson was averaging 11 points on 34% shooting 18% from deep. Yuck. However, Ryan, in the last three games, Scoot Henderson has been averaging 21.3 points. He's been shooting 47% from deep on five attempts. So not like super high volume, but you know, some volume. Seven assists, three rebounds, two steals. Ryan, the question that I have for you is Scoot Henderson back? Is he back? Is he back? Is he back?
Is he ever here?
Is he? I asked if he was back.
But you can't be back if you weren't here. And that's kind of.
You don't think he's back? You listen to the stats and you don't think he's back. You don't think he's back?
I don't think he's back. I think he's arriving.
We're not talking about back like he left. We're like back, like capital letters back. Like back, like the guy's back. He's playing basketball back. Like, you know, it's like, it's that kind of, it's like the colloquial back.
If I'm going to play off your colloquial back, I'm going to say, no, he's not back. He really? he just parked the car and he's walking into the building. And that's where I'm going to give it.
Let's leave the funny phrasing aside. Like, do you make anything of this very small sample size, but this recent stretch from Scoot Henderson, which by the way, is not just stats. If you watch the dude play, some of the things that he's doing, like those hit ahead passes in transition, bounce, mm-hmm. a hit ahead bounce pass in transition to Chris Murray. One of the coolest passes that I've seen, like from anybody, let alone a 20-year-old rookie point guard. Pretty freaking cool, showing some good vision, his ability to get to the rim. And yeah, like his, if you listen to Mike Richmond on Locked On Blazers podcast, talks about Scoot Henderson's deceleration, not all the way there yet, but like is able to. So I'm babbling a little bit. My question to you is this small sample size, is this like reason for us as Blazers fans to have hope, to have optimism for Scoot Henderson? Like, does this, like, again, small sample size, is this doing anything for you, Ryan?
This is reason to have hope and have optimism and be giddy for the future. Now, I'm not saying that Scoot Henderson is going to be the next.
Hopefully not Josh Giddy. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry,
you just broke my brain.
I was debating whether to say it, and I was like, I just let it fly. Sorry about that.
And anyways, well, this is good news, because one of the biggest red flags that we could have at this point in time, Scoot, we can all agree that Scoot Henderson, not counting injury stuff, Scoot Henderson did not have anywhere near the best start to his rookie career. And it caused a lot of us in Blazerland to go, oh shit, what the fuck? Like, this is the guy that they drafted and shipped away one Damian Lamont, Ollie Lillard for. And then we saw him play basketball and said, wait, huh? And a lot of us had issues. One of the things that I had said when I saw him struggle at the beginning of the year was, I want to see how this teaches him. I want to see how he responds to this. I want to see what he learns from. And seeing his play now is a lot more controlled. And I mean, not saying that he doesn't make mistakes still. He's still a rookie, but his play is a lot more controlled and thoughtful, for lack of a better term, than it was anywhere near the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year was very reactionary, to where whatever the situation was immediately in front of him, he was making a decision then and there. Now we're starting to see where he's bringing the ball down the floor, he's involved in plays, and he's thinking 2 to 3 steps ahead. Most of the time now we're seeing him make the right read, not always, but that progress just within a season leads me to be hopeful about his overall development. Is that something you can agree with there?
It is. It's just not a hot take. It's not interesting. It's not. How are we going to get the clicks off
sucks,
that?
Trade his ass. Get rid of him.
There we go.
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about. So you don't think he's back? You think he's backing out of the, you know, okay. I think your take is reasonable. And also, like, as a fan, the way that, well, I want to be careful. Here's how you should be watching the Blazers. Everyone listening. No, I'm not going to do that. But like, for me,
be me.
Definitely don't be me. But for me, as I'm watching these games, and I've been doing more writing, I've been watching the games more often. So I'm looking for this stuff specifically, the kinds of things that you're talking about, to make me feel better about the years, plural, to come. I do think, and I'm going to start saying this more often up until it gets annoying, we all need to be prepared for a pretty long rebuild, because as well as Scoot Henderson may be playing for the last 3 games, which by the way is like reasonably well, but it's not like a 3-game stretch of all NBA play. I mean, it's a 3-game stretch of like sub all-star level play, and it's a 3-game stretch. So like, let's just temper what he's been doing. that we need to be prepared for a long rebuild. We need to be prepared.
Welcome to the club. Welcome.
Right. It's totally. We need to be prepared.
It's nice to start having people over on my island.
Are you charging rent? How is your island a tax haven? Like, can I get away with, like, you know,
if you deposit like all your money
into, practices there,
if you deposit all your money into my account, I will not charge you taxes on it. That's
going to need
your
account
on my island
and ACA routing number after the podcast. But like all that we have right now, Ryan, are these flashes of a Scoot Henderson or a Chris Murray or a Jabari Parker or a Delonto Banton or a Tamani Kamara or Shaedon Sharpe. Name them. We have these moments where they look cool and they look good and they're doing cool stuff. And what we can say to ourselves is, yo, if you extrapolate that plus 20% out for the next, you know, career, then you're really looking at a player. That's all we've got, Ryan. We don't have anything else. Okay. We're not getting a new owner anytime soon. We're not getting a new coach anytime soon. We're not getting any veteran players anytime. Like, these are the only moments that we have. So like, as far as I'm concerned, Scoot's back, because that's how excited we have to be. Cause this is what we're living for at this point. This is our reality. Like you said, here we are. We're joining you in the hot tub full of cow manure, and we're all just kind of simmering in it, right? Like, it's the best we can do.
It's like a mud bath gone wrong. No, and one of the
certain
one of the
kind
things
of mud
too is, and I think a lot of fans, I think/hope a lot of fans are starting to come around to the understanding.
Now, careful, don't be telling people how to watch the game.
No,
okay?
I'm going to tell them how to watch the game. I'm going to tell them how to feel. I'm going to tell them how to fan. Welcome to my podcast, bitches.
I'm going to tell them where they buy their groceries. Don't go to Fred Meyer. Go to Safeway.
Don't even get me started.
Quick pivot. Where do you do the majority of your shopping?
Safeway, because if you if you coupon properly, you can get hella deals. Me and the wife have an ongoing competition to see who can get the most discounted item or items when you leave. And I think I am right now in the lead at, I have 75%.
Because you're hiding them in your trench coat as you walk out the door.
It's 70, it's 75%.
Sir, where's your receipt?
I think in proper couponing and proper shopping, I've gotten 75% off. So like, I've walked out of there with like a $500 original bill for, you know, like $180. So
that's really good.
Anyways. But I hope people are coming around to, and I know this was hard in the beginning, because when you give up and trade away a player like Damian Lillard, who is literally the face of the franchise, and for lack of a better term, they did it for Scoot Henderson. A lot of people just automatically equated in their head that the next face of the franchise was going to be Scoot Henderson. And I'm thinking slash hoping that more people are coming around to the understanding that Scoot is not necessarily going to be the face of the franchise moving forward, but he is a very important pillar in it. Like, if you're going to build the next, you know, big three of the Blazers or whatever, that Scoot Henderson is a part of that. But I do not think that he will be the most important player on the team or the franchise player, face of the franchise. Yes,
Ryan, bro. I have my hand up and Zoom has recognized me.
It won't
me.
Go away. Your hand, you got a Trump hand. It's very orange.
You have to click the lower. I know it's a very Simpsons color. Here's the thing. In my view, it's not that Scoot won't be the franchise guy. It's that we don't know. I think that
I don't think he can be. I don't think he can be.
I think the front office wants him to be, thinks he could be. I don't think that they, because look, I don't think that they drafted him thinking he could be a franchise guy. And now in March, you know, less than a year later, are like, nah, he can't be. I think the more likely explanation or the better way to look at it, it's going to take a while for us to know. I also think that, like, for me personally, I'm like more pessimistic on the chance of him being like the guy, you know, that's just reality. I have seen enough, and it's not just the last three games, what he does at times, his ability to do things that other players can't do, and his, frankly, attitude and work ethic. I don't think that it's impossible. I just think it's going to be a minute before we know. That's my opinion.
And one of the things too is like the organization itself is in a certain spot where they can't hang all their marketing material on Jeremy Grant and, you know, Matisse Thybulle and Malcolm Brogdon, because these vets are not, by the time that this
Malcolm Brogdon may be the least sexy marketable NBA player of all time.
Even though I think they should lean into the fact that he looks eerily like Andre Miller, and they should be like, look, we have Andre Miller again, but that's not here or there. That's a me and Evan thing. But no, so you have, it's funny to watch a team market when you're in a rebuild, because as you're in a rebuild, every new piece that you bring in has to be the most exciting thing that is going on. And you have to build up that narrative. But at the same point in time, if that piece flames out and is a bust or isn't as productive as like everybody maybe thought they were, would be, like, there does need to be a pivot point. Right now, the Blazers as an organization are in a, this is going to be, you know, I think they're wrong in marketing Anfernee Simons as much as they are, because I don't think he's long for this team. I think this team is going to be a Scoot Henderson.
Yeah, but he's the best player. So
correct. But this is going to be a Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe-led team. So it's kind of odd when the top three players that you're going to market are all fucking guards.
I think you have to market your best players no matter who they are. Like,
But that's going to lead to a fandom bias. That's gonna lead to hurt feelings when a player is eventually traded away. But the eventuality of this franchise is going to be Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson and one other piece, and we don't know when or where that piece will come from. And in all honesty, I think eventually, and especially as he gets older and more comfortable in the media, because he didn't really get that much training for it when he sat out his year of college, is going to be Shaedon Sharpe. I think Shaedon Sharpe will eventually be the face of the new Blazers, this new Blazers era franchise.
Here's the thing though. How much of that is that you've seen him play for an extra year? He's gotten an extra year of development, right? Like, and to be fair, like Shaedon Sharpe has like better size, right? He's a much, much, much better shooter. Mm-hmm. Not as good of a passer, right? Like he has got better like vertical explosion, but like less horizontal power and like speed than Scoot Henderson does. They're different players. I would say that like his shooting and his size make Shaedon Sharpe like a more natural kind of archetype as a number one player. So, but I do wonder how much of this is like, look, if it were his second year and he, you know, were playing and whatever, like how differently might we feel about that? I don't know. So there's that. Ryan, quick, I just want to interject really quickly because we don't have a ton of time, but topic that was not on the agenda. However, breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski.
Strong pivot.
It's not about the Blazers, but I want your opinion really quickly on it.
Okay.
Toronto Raptors center Jontay Porter is out of the lineup and a subject of an NBA investigation into irregularities on prop betting involving him. Sources tell me and Brian Windhorst. Story soon.
Okay. Brian,
could we ever have imagined that the NBA allowing you to make real-time bets on shit happening in the game through their own app might lead to something like this? I can't believe it. I'm blown away. I seriously never thought this could happen. I mean, come on.
This makes me happy.
Come on. I mean,
I was going to debut Trail Mix. And
oh, is it in there? Oh, I'm sorry.
The NBA gambling partnership thing was going to be in there, especially in light of the Shohei Ohtani news, which I know you're not necessarily the world's biggest baseball
thing ever.
I personally find it hilarious.
I can't believe it took this long.
15 years ago and longer, you could not have gotten a professional sports league in the United States to touch Vegas with a 10-foot pole. And now everybody is fucking racing to that city. They want a team. They want them there. Every single thing is a partnership with BetMGM, with FanDuel, with BetOnline.ag. A lot of podcasts that we listen to and respect are sponsored by. And I'm not necessarily like crapping on these apps, but the more sports leagues themselves tie themselves to actual advertising money with sports gambling leagues, the less I am going to be shocked by the players themselves betting on sports. And there is no better example of this right now than the Shohei Ohtani with the Dodgers thing and his interpreter. That news, like all MLB right now is doing is just praying that Shohei Ohtani's either him or his interpreter did not once bet on even a Korean baseball league freaking outcome, that it was every other sport. But this is where, like, when these leagues are leaning into promoting sports gambling to the point of that I've been in an arena and seen live under overlines and money line stats on the fucking Jumbotron. Bro, like, this is where we're going.
Yes, you are 100% right. And I'm so sorry. I have to walk us through some of these replies to this Woj tweet. I have to do it. Okay, listen. Here are some of the replies to this tweet.
So it was a Woj tweet on a Brian Windhorst report?
Apparently.
God,
they both work for ESPN. You know, it's all good.
Do they just sleep in the studio? They have to share a one bedroom in the back of the studio.
Couple of replies. How could this happen? Brought to you by FanDuel, your premier partner of ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of the NBA. Another reply, taking betting on himself to a whole new level. Another reply, I've never heard of this guy. He was for sure making money on his prop bets. And then some of my, oh my gosh. If you're betting real currency on Jonte Porter, just call the number. It's over.
Nobody knows the number to call. By the way, nobody knows the number to call because when they get to the point of call this number, if you have a problem in this state, and Wisconsin.
A couple more.
It always ends with Wisconsin, by the way.
Bro thinks he's Shohei. Wait. Betting on yourself and taking the under. I respect it. Bro took the under every game. No,
by the way, screw that respect, because that is the ultimate I don't give an F. Like, what are you going to do? Like, look at your like,
though. I mean, come on.
Like, you're like, shit, I can't get the next rebound. That's going to hit the over. I'm done. Coach, take me out. You come up limping? Like, what the hell? So,
under on himself. Listen.
My biggest complaint about this whole athletes and sports gambling thing, because this stuff is getting insane. And I just remember the Pete Rose era and the Tim Donaghy era of everything. Athletes today make more money than they have ever made previously. And nobody has a friend that can sign up for their own account.
It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard.
Why are you gambling yourself? I could find 10 people to make sports bets for me, and I ain't rich.
You'd think you'd want some distance, yeah. A little bit of distance from this stuff. Look, this is the most predictable thing ever. Obviously this is happening. Like it's not like it shouldn't even be breaking news. It should be like the thing that we knew definitely was going to happen. Like right away is happening. Like no shit. I think like, look, I know that we weren't planning to talk about this. All jokes aside, and the jokes are funny.
By the way, hold on. I really hope that the breaking news report on ESPN was, and this is going to be breaking news with Adrian Wojnarowski, brought to you by our sponsor, BetMGM. All right, Adrian, what do we have here?
I do think between this, obviously, between players talking about how it's a problem, between coaches saying that they have been targeted with threats of physical violence, mm-hmm, from people who place bets on their team. I think the NBA,
there has been legit things about like mobs approaching coaches about like, right, I don't think this guy should play tonight.
As the sun is completely bleaching out my already pale skin, I'm going to shut that curtain in a second. I think the NBA is in a rough spot, and they have gotten into this.
It's not just the NBA, it's sports leagues in general.
No, Everybody, but look, they're putting betting inside of their own app, and that, like, and that, between the timing of that and this, look, sports is entertainment. I think that the league that organizes a sport ought to be able to make money off of it in all of the ways. So philosophically, like, it's not so much about like they should be able to make money off of gambling. It's more of like, yo, if people are making money off of our stuff, we should get. I agree with that, but there has got to be some common sense and some distance, some fucking regulation is what I'm trying to get to, Ryan. If we had a functional Congress, because sports is supposed to be not random chance, but it's not professional wrestling, which, by the way, is super fun, and that's fine. It is supposed to be a competition.
You know, you can gamble on the WWE.
Well, that's a scripted outcome event.
You can gamble on it.
That seems problematic too. But like, and again, like the sun's really getting to me. So why don't you, I mean, this seems so obvious that something should have already been done, needs to be done, should be done. And it just, this doesn't surprise me one bit.
No. And the biggest thing, sports gambling and leagues embracing all of this partnership with it and moving into Vegas, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I think
this specific report is actually something's going to happen now. I do. I think something's going to happen.
Well, I think something will happen, but I don't think anything consequential will happen. It's not like LeBron James got caught betting an under on a Lakers game.
Listen,
that's the conspiracy. So, right. Real quick before your conspiracy, the Shohei Ohtani news in baseball is big because Shohei Ohtani is what the MLB has. He is their darling, and just any sort of hint of an impropriety on his part that he could have even that the thought bubble appearing that he could have possibly bet on baseball or his interpreter could have bet on baseball, who obviously has inside knowledge because he's in these dugouts and all this stuff, you know, even just that, like MLB is crapping themselves. I don't think the smaller ancillary players of leagues are going to drive a big wedge or cause any sort of major change. You're going to need, I don't think it'll come down to like individual league wide, like, hey, LeBron James needs to be caught betting on, you know, the NBA, you know, Lakers get knocked out of the playoffs and LeBron is suddenly betting on who's going to win the title. Like that kind of news story that would drive change in the NBA. But until then, like these little things here and there, this dude, he's whatever, like he's going to get,
here's my conspiracy.
He'll get the book thrown at him. The league will say, look, we take this seriously. But if it was a player of higher consequence that was caught doing this exact same thing, like Steph Curry, say if it was Steph Curry, is the league throwing the book at him? No.
Well, so, okay. Good question. I'm not quite sure. My conspiracy brain is this. I don't think the NBA wants an entire political party to make like investigating it a thing. And no. There is a political party that seems to not really like the NBA because the NBA is like too woke and too progressive and do this and do that.
And they also don't like MLB or NFL for the same reason, but
yeah, sure. But like I could totally, so like my conspiracy brain is like the NBA wants no part of a political party making this a political talking point. Therefore they are going to like do something themselves in order to at least give the appearance that they've mitigated the possibility of something like this happening again, that goes above and beyond just throwing the book at the one dude. So we'll see what happens. You might be right. You're probably right.
Where does the league hold their summer showcase in July?
I don't know.
Las Vegas, NBA. Summer.
Okay. So what does that have to do with anything?
The league is
betting. Oh, yeah.
Sports leagues are so tied to this. And
I stayed at the Luxor when I was 13. That's about extent of my Las Vegas experience. Okay. Like, listen, Ryan, we are running out of time. I want to lightning round something really quick. It has to do with the topic. Actually, wait a minute. You wanted to debut a new segment on the show. Actually, why don't we do that?
Yeah, but this is the road it was going to go down. So we'll just have to wait for the official debut. I love the name of it.
Okay, fine.
It's a soft launch. We soft launched.
Fair enough. We're going to call it road variation. I wonder if you can guess what it is. Quick lightning round. We talked about Scoot Henderson. Knowing what you know now, would you prefer Joe Cronin and the Blazers and Mike Schmidt? Would you have preferred them to have drafted Scoot Henderson or Amen Thompson?
Am I limited in the context in which I have to think about this?
You are limited by the fact that you need to answer immediately and make it the hottest take ever. No, I mean, like, you can answer it
keep,
however you
keep
want.
Keep Damian Lillard and draft Amen Thompson.
Okay.
Position of need. So at that position of need.
As
at that
Mike
point
Richmond
in time.
Said on the latest Locked On Blazers podcast, it wasn't so much Scoot over Dame. It was we're keeping the third pick.
Correct.
Because we don't know what Charlotte's going to do. Right. Like they Blazers couldn't control that, even though they kind of telegraphed.
Correct.
Pretty early.
I don't think Dame's is pissed I don't think Dame's is pissed if they draft a non-point guard versus bitch. That's my position.
Yeah, but when it came down to it, the Blazers made it was more about the third pick than anything else. But leaving that aside, the question really is Scoot or Amen. Knowing what you know now, we're most of the way into the season. Which one would you prefer?
Amen. Because even if I'm going to take like, hey, Dame's still out the door with that, then I can still look at it and say, all right, the Blazers have Anfernee Simons and Shaedon Sharpe. Amen Thompson is somebody that can slot in at a three of the future, whatever, or, you know, three hybrid four, whatever that you want to do. He fits roster wise with what the Blazers had, even without Dame.
That's fair. But Amen Thompson's an interesting player. And as I wrote the preview for the Blazers Rockets game for tonight, you know, we solicit questions from Blazers Edge readers that, by the way, you should go to blazersedge.com and put in your questions before I do the previews. It helps me write them. Somebody asks this specific question. They said, what do you think about the Amen/rookie Scottie Pippen comparison? Statistically, they're pretty darn close for their first year outside of Amen's rebounding. Both were non-three-point shooters with elite defenses and well-rounded skill sets, with Amen being a little bit less raw, much more efficient, but having less length and more strength, especially when looking at recent play, as Amen was stuck behind a lot of forwards early on. When I looked, Ryan, at the stats of rookie Scottie Pippen, the rookie, not the top 75 player of all time, Hall of Famer, but the rookie Scottie Pippen, it's actually pretty close. And it's interesting because while Amen Thompson, Scottie Pippen, I heard you saying, is he a three, is he a four? But Amen Thompson is like, has really elite passing vision. And remember, when Scottie Pippen was on the early 2000s, late 90s Blazers, he was effectively running point with Derek Anderson at that point.
He was a point forward before it was a thing.
Before it was a thing. So, like, I think it's an interesting comparison. You were going to say something before I give my answer. Or were you?
I don't like...
You don't like the comparison? You don't like comparing generations. You don't want to compare the eras, do you, Ryan? You want to keep the sanctity of the 80s and 90s basketball. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Neither do I, old newsy man. But no, I do not
Loophole,
like...
safety cold ties.
I do declare.
comparing... Trey Kirby's Southern lawyer bit. Got to work on my Southern accent.
Comparing generations like that, because... The game is
but I thought it was a pretty good
game
comparison.
Is if you want to just do like a numbers deep dive, a numbers look, I can understand how you can get there comparison wise, but
the body archetype.
As the games and the leagues evolve and their styles of play, like back in the early 90s, nobody was thinking about analytics and thinking about like the importance of it's a dunk or a three. That's basically it. Like those are your top two things. You know, the mid-range game was absolutely on fire in Pippen's heyday of his generation. And so it's weird for me to look at like player X now versus player Y then, because I think that the style of play, the importance on how you get your points and all that stuff has just changed so much over the last 20 to 30 years that it kind of does become hard to make comparisons outside of just going player player X had X number or had this many points, this many rebounds, this many assists. This player has this many points, this many rebounds, this many assists. Obviously, they're similar. It's hard. Just the nature of the league, the style of play, the importance of various things on the game have all just changed way too much for us to make those kind of apples to apples comparisons.
That okay. Technically, you're right.
Twice in one episode, folks. Twice in one episode.
But there's a big but. But when we make dumb comparisons like this, they're never going to be perfect. And I think as far as comparisons go, it's pretty good. Now, to the question, Scooter, man, we don't know. Look, you can't.
I'd take a man now, but I could be wrong in 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, like, I need production. Like, I want a player to impact winning basketball tomorrow. Amen Thompson. But correct. We don't know enough about either of these players to say one of them is going to be better than the other. I do think Amen Thompson has a very interesting skill set. I thought he did at the draft. I was not going to, my tweets are gone, Ryan. But if you would have gone back, you would have seen that I was very on board with the Blazers if they thought that Amen Thompson was the pick at three to go ahead and pick him. So it's not that, you know, wild. But I declare, we don't know. We're not going to know. Teenagers take time to develop. Everyone just calm down. The Blazers are rebuilding. They're not going to do what the Rockets did. The Fred VanVleet's not coming to save us. Dylan Brooke ain't coming to save us. We have no Alperen Şengün on our team. So we're going to be rebuilding for a bit. Okay. And just calm down. Wait, it's fine.
So on that note, do you want to end on taking a spin on ye old draft lottery simulator?
Let's do it. Let's take a second. I tried to spin my hat. By the way, shout out to the Portland Pickles. They just opened.
How was the bar, by the way? I saw that you were down there.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. It was awesome. It's a cool two-story bar, sports bar, big screens, has a balcony. And again, a second story. It's very cool. Very big. A lot of people there. It was packed. It was super fun. Shout out to Seth, Sheriff of Portland. You might know him as. Shout out to Berlicious M, Michael. Kristen gave me this hat for free, which is awesome. And thank you, Kristen. That was super nice of you. Cause I was actually, they have a vending machine with merch in it, including this hat. Ooh. This was the one hat. I was like, I like the green. I want to get it. So shout out, support your local semi-professional baseball team. Their season starts in a couple months, I think, or maybe even before that. But anyway, let's take a spin, Ryan. Spin us right round, baby, record baby.
I have spun that before we spin. The Blazers currently sit at 19-52, and they were in sitting down in fifth place or at the fifth pick. But when you take a spin on ye old lottery, Portland jumps up three spots today to the second pick. Toronto 1, Portland 2, Charlotte 3. So
big question though, having said that, where does the Blazers' second first round pick fall? Of course, the pick that the Blazers own from the Golden State Warriors.
Sitting down there, doesn't move much. Anytime I've taken a spin on this, it stays at number 13, but you know,
by the way, like you could say, I wish the Warriors were doing worse. The pick would be better, but you could also say, well, since they're doing a little bit better, a little bit less likely they're going to jump up. More likely the Blazers keep the pick. The Blazers are going to have two first round picks in a not so great draft. But hey man, second pick. So you know who we should have on the podcast?
Our old buddy, Steve.
Definitely. 100%. Steve DeWald, he just did a podcast with Corey Dickman on Rip City Roundtable. Steve has come out of hibernation. He wrote a new piece for Blazers Edge today. Saw him in the...
He's out of retirement?
He's out of retirement. I saw him in the Slack channel being like, hey guys, I'm trying to log in. I can't... He doesn't sound that way.
Don't make fun of Steve. I will drive down the road and go tell him you're making fun of him.
No, Steve is awesome. I was just messing around. He has not posted that story yet. So a little bit of breaking news. Look for Steve DeWald's story coming out of retirement only at BlazersEdge.com. We should get Steve on because he knows about drafty, college-y, international-y, G-League-y stuff, and I definitely don't.
Did you get Ian Carmel to commit?
No, and listen, like, we got to talk off air about your strategy, okay, buddy? I went to the Ian Carmel show, Revolution Hall. It was
my awesome. Strategy is hard and aggressive. The answer is and always no, and you need to scream the never question. Great.
It was actually, you know, you've gotten tons of guests. So, you know, whatever you're doing is working. Saw Ian Carmel at Revolution Hall. He was taping his special for Netflix. I believe it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. And I did try to get, like, I was kind of sneaking around. Like, can I get a picture with him? I wonder where he is. I did DM him and I was like, yo, man, I know that you're busy between sets, but if I could get a picture with you, that'd be awesome. He wrote back and is like, they're not letting me come out. Sorry. So apparently he was being withheld from the public.
He was sequestered,
which was pretty funny, but maybe, you know, we could always ask him back on. He's an awesome human being.
You know, coming up when the Netflix special is going to air, he's got to do a promotional tour. So, you know, what better place than We Like the Blazers with me, myself, Ryan Witty Whitledge. You can find me on Twitter at the Witty Ryan. Goldner, you are or are not back on Twitter, I think.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
You can find him at Goldner PDX, and you can find us at Like the Blazers. Any emails, comments, complaints, concerns, screaming at the clouds, we like the Blazers at gmail.com. As always, you can find our episodes posted up on Blazers Edge, and we are a happy part of the Rogue Media Network. So on that, go Blazers.
Go Blazers. So proud of you. Look at you.
Caught you off guard when I organically took the outro.
That was great. No, that was really good. Good app. I think going weekly is doing us well. I think it suits us. I think weekly is good.
I've still watched zero games since we started this whole weekly thing, but all right, whatever.
And it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I was telling, I should hit stop recording.